Turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. You'd be alerted already that by turning to 2 Samuel chapter 13, you're alerted and your ears are perked. Could be something bad going on in this chapter. People in the world typically refer to the number 13 as a bad number. And consistently, when you read through the Bible and you find these 13s, you typically see something bad. Your mind is alerted where you certainly have something like that going on. And here you have the story of a fellow named Amnon. Amnon is David's son, and he begins to lust for his sister Tamar and eventually has her, hates her, dismisses her, and dies as a result of his stupidity, really. And we're going to look at this, Amnon's folly in 2 Samuel chapter 13. And we're not going to read the whole passage from 1 to 28. I gave you a quick summary of it, but we'll read the lead-in so you see what's going on. We'll pray, and then we will go through and see what the Lord has for us in this text. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 1, "It came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, 'Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?' And Amnon said unto him, 'I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister.' And Jonadab said unto him, 'Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand.' So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, 'I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand.' Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, 'Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat.'" Tragic results of that decision. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill me with your Holy Spirit. This work that needs to be done today cannot be done by a man. It's impossible. It can only be done by your Holy Spirit. And Father, your Holy Spirit being the very gentle, peaceful, pure, righteous Spirit that He is, doesn't like to dwell in the presence of sin. I pray you'll wash us in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn our minds and our hearts and our thoughts to your words. There's something in this message for all of us, Father. May we be attentive, both in our minds and in our hearts, to receive these. May our spirits be affected, our lives changed by what we hear. Father, we also lift up for you Brother Robert Nogalski and Brother Tom Holt, pastors of Victory Baptist Church and Hope Baptist Church in Michigan and Indiana. Lord God, we pray for these men today as they stand in their pulpits. You'll fill them with your Holy Spirit. Give them good people to surround them. Souls, Father, for their labor. All the money they need to take care of all of their expenses, good health, and Father, a hunger for righteousness and a thirst for Jesus Christ and a desire to tell others that they may be saved. I ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amnon's folly. People say, what is folly? We don't use that word so much. Folly is foolishness. It's just doing dumb, stupid things and then receiving the consequences of those bad decisions. Amnon, as we're going to see, and as you've already begun to see in this passage, was definitely a foolish young man. And you know what we're going to do today, hopefully? Hopefully today we are going to learn from his folly. In other words, somebody said one time, a fool is a person who never learns. That's true. And a wise man is a person who learns from his own mistakes. Today, I hope you're going to be a genius, because a genius learns from the mistakes of others. And what you'd hope to be able to do today from this scripture is learn where it went wrong for Amnon, and learn by that and make changes in your own life so it doesn't go wrong for you or for your children in the same way. Listen, if you don't learn from this today, then you are bound to repeat the same mistakes that Amnon repeated. Whether you do or not, you're still heading in that direction. And listen, you need to learn. Notice some things about Amnon's folly. First of all, notice his foolish love. His foolish love. Who did he fall in love with? He fell in love with his sister. You say, yeah, but they had the same father, but they didn't have the same mother. It doesn't make any difference. When you go back to Leviticus chapter 18 and look at verse 9, you don't need to turn there now, you can jot it down. You go back to Leviticus chapter 18 and you look at verse 9, you're going to find that in Leviticus, Moses laid down the law and said, you are not to have your father's daughter, whether she has the same mother as you or not. That is a forbidden, prohibited marriage. You know what he did? He fell in love with the wrong girl. You say, well, what does that have to do with me? He said, you don't know my sister. There's no way in the world I'd ever fall in love with her. Are you kidding? A lot of times you see something in the Old Testament, you make an application to the New Testament. It's not that it is the exact thing. It is the type. Young men, the Bible says it was wrong for Amnon to have his sister, and he didn't heed what the Bible said. And do you know that the Bible says, young men, it is wrong for you to have a lost girlfriend? And you need to heed what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Listen, you set that in your mind and you say, okay, I'm going to do something, hopefully in the future, about marriage. We were here praying this morning and one of the men praying said, I thank God that I learned to quit seeking a wife. I thank God that I could trust the Lord to bring me a wife. And he got a good wife. You say, why is that so important? Because listen, people are so eager today to be able to fall in love. They watch these chick flicks and they watch these movies and they watch these romances. They do these other things. They get on Facebook and they make all these acquaintances and get all hooked up and they think, oh, I need to be a boyfriend or a girlfriend with that person. And let me tell you something. If that person's not saved, and that person doesn't believe like you believe, because there are some saved people, but they don't believe like you believe, and if that person doesn't have the same desires and aspirations to want to be like God and let Jesus Christ form his life, you don't have any business getting started in a relationship like that. You are wasting your time. That's foolish love. That's foolish love. He fell in love with her beauty. And that's a mistake for a lot of reasons. I could develop a whole sermon on that, just a bunch of thoughts coming in mind. But Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30 says that beauty is vain. You want a woman that's going to be praised? Get a woman that fears the Lord. Like Brother Wiggins said this morning, not many people fear the Lord anymore, so that's sure going to narrow down the field. It may, but it's going to save you a lot of misery too. Listen, he was so taken with her and his thoughts about her that he made himself sick, the Bible says. Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. That's sick. He wanted her body, and that's all he could think about. He fell in love with his imagination of what he thought it would be like. May I tell you something? Your imagination will fool you. Your imagination will fool you into believing that you get married, it's all going to be wonderful. My wife's in California. And I'll tell you right now, it ain't like you think it's going to be. You dreaming, partner. You are dreaming. Some of you men say amen right there. She'll be back next Sunday. I jump ahead a little bit. You're in 2 Samuel 13. Look at verses 14 and 15. He forced her, the Bible says. Verse 14. Howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon, look at that, hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. And Amnon said to her, rise, be gone. People say, I wonder why there's so many divorces in the United States of America. That right there. Because you thought it was going to be something special, and then you got married, and you found out what it was really like. How many guys do I know that have said, oh, yeah, we're so in love, they get all married like that, and then you see them 5 years, I hate that woman. What happened? Fell in love with the wrong woman. Love wasn't what he thought it would be. And love isn't going to be what you've been dreaming about either. Now, before I go any further, and to save what's left of my marriage, next month my wife and I will have been married 32 years. I love her now more than I've ever loved her before. But it's not for her beauty. And it's not for my imagination. It's for the woman that God made her to be. Talking to a missionary that's 68 years old just the other day. He and his wife have been married, I don't even know how long, 40 years, I guess. And he said the same thing. He said, I love my wife now more than I ever, ever loved her before. A marriage like that can grow when it's made by God, but you have foolish love and it's never going to turn out like that. Haven't you seen people that raised up their children just as soon as the children were gone, mom and dad split the sheet? How does that happen? Foolish love. Foolish love. Amnon's folly not only led him to foolish love, but notice also his foolish friend. His foolish friend in verse 3. The Bible says Amnon couldn't figure out. He said, the Bible says in verse 2, Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So in other words, he had a desire, but he didn't know how to work it out. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Jonadab was a very subtle man. Let me tell you something. You know what went wrong with Amnon here? Not only did he have foolish love, but he had foolish friends. He made a friend out of the wrong guy. His friend taught him how to get what he wanted rather than talking him out of it, because what he was planning was a stupid decision. Let me, you want something. And I'm sure for a while Amnon thought, boy, that Jonadab, he's the coolest guy. He's such a friend. That's the best friend that I've ever had, because he cooked up this scheme. He said in verse 5, lay thee down on thy bed, make thyself sick, and when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it. And he did it at her hand. There's the opening. That's how to work it out. There's your entrance. And old Amnon's probably over there going, yeah, man, I got to tell you, it is a good thing I have a friend like Jonadab. Oh, yeah. You think so? Jonadab's the one that put him in this situation. Jonadab is the one that set up the scheme. This thing eventually turns, and Tamar loses her virginity in this deal. Don't you think for a minute that Absalom wasn't mad about that either. Her brother was furious. Absalom worked out a scheme 2 years later to destroy Amnon for what he had done. He didn't give him immediate retribution. He said, I'm going to hold out on to him. The time is just right. I want you to see something about that. Look in verse 32 of the same chapter. Absalom, don't read the verse yet. Just turn to it so you're ready for it. Absalom cooked up a scheme to invite the whole family up to his sheep shearing. Everybody but David, his father, came. When he was there, he gave instruction to his servants. He said, I'm going to get Amnon drunk. And when Amnon is drunk, I want you to kill him. And that's what he did. Word got back to David before the rest of David's sons made it home that all of David's sons had been killed by Absalom. And when David found that out, he rid his clothes. Everybody else was furious. But look at verse 32. Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, "Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's son. For Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead." That sorry sucker knew about the plan before it happened and didn't even bother to warn his friend. Do you see what's going on there? He said, "By the appointment of Absalom has this been determined." He knew that Amnon was going to die. And he knew that Absalom was the one that was going to do it. Friends like Jonadab will be your friends until they don't want to be your friend anymore. And if you die as a result of your association with them, they won't even lose a night's sleep when you're gone. They'll just go get them another one until they ruin their lives. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times, if he's a real friend, and would never have cooked up the scheme and would have never let him go into that trap. Never. The Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be what? And the companion of fools shall be destroyed." And he was destroyed. You know what you ought to have? You ought to have a friend who will wound you rather than let you get hurt. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, the Bible says. You don't want to make friends out of people that go along with every crazy idea you have. You want to make friends out of people that will put you in check and try to get you into the best place for your life. You want friends who will look at you and say, "You know what, I've been listening to what you're talking about. The little scheme you're trying to pull, that doesn't sound like a very good idea to me at all. You know what? Why don't you turn away from that foolishness and let's go do something legitimate?" Now, that's a friend. And if he has to put his finger in your nose and call you an idiot until he gets your attention, I'd rather have a friend like that than I would who would let me go on down the path of destruction until I was wasted. I was talking to Paul Jant the other day. We were up in Waco and had a chance. He's worked in the American Juvenile. It's a ministry he calls a juvenile ministry to the American's youth. He's seen a lot of cases of people that have gone astray. You know what Paul said? Paul said, "One summer with a friend like Jonadab can ruin a man for life." You see, this is the end of April. 3 more weeks, school's out. Maybe 4. And then some of you have 6 weeks, or some of you have 2 months and some days for your summer vacation. Woo-hoo! Hey! And all you got to do is hook up with a Jonadab, and your life could be different forever. Try it. Try it. His foolish love and his foolish friend. But Amnon's folly goes on from there. Notice his foolish mouth. Look at verse 6. The plan is kicked up. So Amnon laid down, made himself sick. When the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, "I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand." Whatever he said before he said that to convince his father to let Tamar come over there was a scheme, was a lie, was a deception. And what he's proven himself to be by this little deal is a man whose word is of absolutely no value at all. Let me read a verse to you. fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. You ought to memorize that verse. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. He set a trap for himself with this deal that ruined him and destroyed his life. Young people, if you lie to your parents, you are the loser. You are. You know what Agur said in Proverbs chapter 30 about a young man that would lie to his parents like that? He said, let the ravens come and pluck his eyes out. You know what would be really nice one day? Is for a preacher to preach a message like this, and for some guy who's a big old lion to his mother and father all the time, walk out the door and an eagle swap by and pop out one of his eyes and go, what? Amen! And leave. And everybody else go, oh, wow, that's real. The eye that mocketh his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. You say, well, I've never seen that happen. Book it. Book it. Bad things happen to boys and girls who lie to mom and dad to scheme. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Look at this deal again in verse 6. Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Verse 7, then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. Boy, that is dumb. Don't you think maybe a question should have been asked between those two things, like, why that? What are you thinking? What's going on in your head? May I tell you something, mom and dad? Some of the trouble that your kids get into is your fault. It really is. You know why? Because you are foolish enough to believe that everything they say to you is true. Don't you remember what it was like when you were 12 years old? Did you always tell the truth? Was you the one that put on the little good little two-shoe face and all that kind of stuff and it didn't work out? Listen, don't believe every word that your precious little can-do-nothing-wrong darling child says, or you're going to be end up complicit in his evil deed. You can't go along with this stuff. I know, but if I say no, they're going to cry. Oh, poor baby. They probably need the lung exercise and their eyes probably need the water. But they're going to cry for like 15 minutes. Fine, and if they need to cry an hour, go in there and add some fire to the fuel and make it go on a little longer. You know, no is a good word. It's really, and you say, but I know they're going to expect an explanation. You're the mother. You're the father. Can I go? No. Why? You ask me one more time, you're going to find out why. Okay. No means no one time. That's all you need to say. And if they come back at you, let them have it. You say, what is this? You're trying to save their lives. You're trying to teach them enough discipline for a long enough period of time until the brain you think they have, in their head and their heart, get connected on the same page and start making wise decisions. And sometimes it just takes a little longer for some than others. Some get it early and they figure it out and go right. Some don't get it. But I'm going to tell you something. His foolish mouth got him in trouble, but his foolish dad was complicit in the evil deed. Should have never happened. Should have never happened. You kidding me? Your sister come over here and cook? You want some food? Get up and cook your own food, dude. Anything wrong with that? Do you have a fever, you lovesick idiot? Amnon's folly, his foolish love, you've seen his foolish friend, his foolish mouth. But also look at his foolish convictions, his foolish conviction. Verse 8, Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. She took flour and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, and he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Have out all men from me." And they went out every man from him. All right, what did that leave? What did that leave? Just the two of them alone in the room with the door shut. Listen, evidently Amnon didn't have any convictions, obviously. He falls in love with his sister and cooks up this particular scheme. But let me say, if he did have any, he didn't have good enough convictions to protect himself from himself. Did you hear what I just said? Convictions to protect himself from himself when he found himself in a situation that he shouldn't have been in. Listen very carefully. All of you, I don't care if you're 90 or if you're 9 or 5 or how old you are in here that you can hear me and understand what I'm saying. Don't ever put yourself in a situation alone where you can get away with the idiotic ideas you have rolling around in your brain. Listen, if you're always in a situation where there's somebody else around, then though this temptation may surge up in you, you are not in a situation where you can act on what you're thinking about. Say, well, that wouldn't be any fun. It will be the next day when you don't have the regrets for what you did when you finally allowed your imagination to carry your feet and your hands and your body into a situation you should have never gotten into. Make sure you are always in the presence of secure company. Not just company, secure company. Get in with the wrong company and you could find yourself in worse trouble. And girls, in the last point, I fussed at the moms and dad. Girls, listen. Woo! Hello. Up here. Listen to what the Lord has to say through this. Don't ever be so stupid. When all the boys left the room and now she is in there alone with her brother with the door shut, she should have left when the rest of the company left. Go! Say, well, I know, but I might hurt his feelings. It's a whole lot better than hurting yours. Why? But he may do something to you while you're there. And you, like Tamar, may not be strong enough to stop him. Get out of there. Go. Listen, there are not enough bottles in the world to hold all the tears you're going to cry after somebody does to you what Amnon did to her. Verse 19. Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. That's what you want? Then leave yourself alone with a boy. Hello. Foolish convictions. Listen, today, while the temperature is chilly and ice is running through your veins because somebody's been talking to you in the privacy of your stuff going on in your life, go home and make some unchangeable convictions in your life and then stick to those for the rest of your life. And you won't have this problem. Not only did he have foolish convictions, but notice his foolish actions. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Look at verse 12. She brought the cakes to him over there where he was in his bed in verse 11 and said, "Come lie with me, my sister." Verse 12, she answered him, "Nay, my brother, do not force me. for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not this folly. Couldn't have happened if she'd have been gone. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? Wouldn't happen if David hadn't set it up. And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools. That's what we're talking about, folks. In Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Listen, if you allow your lust to entice you and draw you away, like James says, you'll be shocked at the things you'll allow yourself to do. How many times have there been people that have gone to court for the eventuality of the actions that came forth from their wicked imaginations, and then they said, I cannot believe that I allowed myself to go that far or to do that thing or to end up with this. You are powerless when your mind runs with an imagination that you do not control. You are powerless for your body to be able to stave off the temptation of that imagination without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important to get saved as a young person and then live for the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him start working on your mind, because as He thinketh in his heart, so is he. You carry out the actions of your imagination. And he did. And when it's all said and done, there will be nobody to blame but yourself for what you did. He could say, well, Tamar shouldn't have stayed in the room. David shouldn't have allowed this thing to be set up. No, but you are the one that finally took the little thing you'd been running around in your mind and took action on it, and you are the only one in the world to blame for it. I tell you what, we go and do these jail ministries, you go in there, oh, I didn't do it, I would just happen to be with the wrong people in the wrong place. They always, well, you know, this really wasn't my fault. These circumstances happened, or, you know, what, I was raised without a father, or, you know, I was raised without a mother, or I was raised in these circumstances, or I was over here on the... Listen, shut up with all that nonsense. You are in charge of your life, and you get to do what you want to do. And if you decide that you don't want to end up like Amnon, make a decision today, you're not going to act on what goes in your head and then try to get control of your thoughts. Amen. He raped his own sister. Is that not bad? This means, yeah, that's bad. All right? You say, well, I'd never do a thing like that. Are you crazy? Listen, you don't know what you're capable of doing. The Lord Jesus Christ can give you some strength against all of that stuff and keep you from acting on these stupid things. But then not only that, notice his foolish pride. His foolish pride, verse 15. Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, rise, be gone. She said unto him, there's no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. He wouldn't hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her. You know what that is? That's foolish pride. He just threw her out after he'd experimented with his lust, gotten what he wanted. Don't you think for a minute that you can abuse people and use people to satisfy whatever lust that you have in your heart, and then somehow or another just walk off like, well, that's that. People get hurt with this kind of stuff. People get hurt when you sin against them. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen, the scars last a lifetime. Scars last a lot of times. You could go around in town and you could interview all of the counselors, all of the psychologists that deal with people in counseling sessions who are having trouble in marriage and other avenues of life, and they sit in there. I bet you they will tell you, when they're dealing with women, that many of them had some abusive situation in their childhood past. And it's sad. You say, but they're 40 years old. They ought to have grown out of it by now. You cannot sin against the heart of a young woman without giving her something to regret for the rest of her life. See, why'd you have to yell that? Because you've got to get it in your heart and mind. Quit thinking like that. Can't do that stuff to people and not hurt them. That's pride. That's. Don't you know what God's going to do with that kind of stuff down the road? Let it go. Say, but it's hard to do because every movie I watch, that kind of thing goes on. Then quit watching those movies. Well, that's kind of hard to do, but those people at school, then change schools. But don't do that to people. People get hurt when you sin against them. Don't hurt any more people. And then notice his foolish mockery in verses 27 and 28. Absalom pressed him. That's David. And David let Amnon and all the king's son go with him. Now Absalom commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, drunk. When I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him up upon his mule and fled. His foolish mockery. Listen, there is just mockery in the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 that God is going to mock those that wouldn't listen to his word. When your fear cometh, I will mock. I will mock when your fear cometh, the Lord says. So there's some just mockery in there. But you know something? That Bible says fools make a mock at sin. And that's what Amnon had done. He pulled this deal off. He hurt his sister. He hurt his brother. He hurt his dad. He hurt himself and then went on like, okay, we're going to have a party over at Absalom's 2 years from now. I'll just go over there and get drunk with the rest of them. You can't mock sin and get away with it. Fools mock sin. And I'll tell you something else. He mocked God. God said you're not supposed to do what he did to his sister. God said you're not even supposed to have your sister. God said you're not supposed to do what he did to his father. And God discouraged from having friends like he had with Jonadab. He had a whole lot of stuff. You know what he said? I don't care what that Bible says. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I got this lustful appetite. I'll just take it out wherever I want to take it out. I'll tell you something. You're not going to mock God and get away with it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he soweth to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. When he took advantage of Tamar, he mocked sin. He mocked God. But you know what? He paid it. He got the consequences. And you know something? You've heard it said before, but it's not trite. You sow it, you're going to reap it in greater degree than you sowed it. He hurt Tamar, and she had a lifelong scar, but he hurt himself worse. He died. He died. It was 2 years later that Absalom cooked this thing up. By that time, Amnon had thought, ha, 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 I got away with it. And I'm sure sometimes in his own thoughts at night, he'd kick back there and go, yeah, ha, ha, it's funny how I was lovesick for old Tamar. And I took advantage of it. Never have another. Ha, 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 bam, you're dead. Visited with Robert Zuniga in the county jail in Beeville. 40 years old, and he got saved just a little bit after you did in life. He goes, you know, the sad thing about it is all the guys that I hung around with when I was in high school are either dead or in jail, but one. When he was 15 years old, that young boy got saved, and we mocked him, called him a Jesus freak and all that. He was the only one among us that was smart. That's what he said. Tell me from the mouth of a 40-year-old. You know what? Be smart. Get saved now. Live for Jesus now. And when these little things come up in your head, just put those things out of your head and do these things in here, and don't be a fool like Amnon, and you're going to come out all right. Amnon was a fool thinking he could get away with this scheme and not suffer evil consequences. And you're a bigger fool than Amnon if you think you can hear this message and ignore it and go right on with your sin and your folly and somehow escape the consequences that Amnon got. You cannot. You have more responsibility now than before you heard this message, because now you know, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. It's the problem of growing up in church and coming to churches and hearing the preaching and things like that and getting the help you get and the kind of things that we are raised up in Sunday school. God expects you to do better. And you ought to do better because he's given you more grace and more wisdom, more help. Look at all these people around here that love you and pull for you and want to be here to support you and help you through these years. Don't be a fool like Amnon and have a foolish love. And make foolish friends, and use a foolish mouth, and establish foolish, unreliable convictions and carry out foolish actions and walk away with foolish pride and then enjoy a foolish mockery till God smites you down. Straighten up now. Live for God now. It's the best hope you've got in the world. Let's pray. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, people say, there's nothing in that Old Testament for us Christians. They don't know what they're talking about. You're not going to read a story like we read in that New Testament that paints that picture so true, so real. You don't have to watch Hollywood to find out how bad these things turn out. It's right here in the book. I'm asking you, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, work in the hearts of our people that are gathered here today, Father, to the parents, that they can be lovingly tough with their children for their children's own good. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for our young girls and our young boys, our unmarried young people, God, that they would take heed to this. This is the absolute truth from the Word of God. You've spoken directly to their hearts. I pray you put the fear of God in them, Father, and a taste for the holiness and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for our young people to establish some strong convictions and live by those, not be ashamed of what others may say, and live to rejoice and enjoy those days of peace and happiness when they don't have to look back with regret on an ill-spent past. I pray for our church, Father, to be not to be ashamed, take this stand for the truth of the words of God, put it into the hearts of every young person who'll sit still long enough to listen. Pray for these families, oh God. They'll live in righteousness and rejoice to see the day of Jesus Christ. They won't have to hold their head down for the wickedness of a sinful past, but can rejoice in the cleanness and holiness and righteousness of a pure and loving Savior. I pray for our little girls. Father, I pray that they will, with their parents' help and with their friends' help, grow up in righteousness, Father, and enjoy the pleasures and benefits of a marriage clean and pure and holy and righteous. And I pray for our young men, Father, to do the same thing and not to be allured by this strange and wicked and evil world that says you can do anything you want to do. It doesn't make any difference who you hurt. You can't. Father, I don't know who here is saved, who's not. I didn't preach the gospel today, but if your Holy Spirit's working on the heart of somebody who's lost and doesn't even have the power and the grace of God to be able to stand in righteousness, I pray, Lord God, they'd come begging for Jesus Christ. We'll show them from the Scripture how to receive Him. They can be saved and have the power of Jesus Christ living in them and be clean from that past that got them and live in righteousness from here out. God, I pray we'll have the opportunity to do that for any soul without Jesus. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.